Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. It's his 11th trip to the region since the Hamas attacks of October 7th, 2023. Secretary of State Antony Blinken back in Israel in hopes of reviving ceasefire talks following the killing of top Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar. 2 weeks out from Election Day, Kamala Harris barnstorming with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, a Republican in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. ABC's Rachel Scott has more on Donald Trump in North Carolina.
At his rally in Greenville, Trump promising mass deportations, vowing to invoke an 18th century law that allows officials to detain people from other countries that the U.S. is at war with. It was last used to justify Japanese internment during World War II.
Think of that. 1798. That's when we had real politicians that said we're not going to play games. We have to go back to 1798.
A day after the New York Liberty won its first WNBA championship, the Players Union announced it's opting out of its collective bargaining agreement to demand higher pay. Disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein is being diagnosed with bone marrow cancer. He is being treated while in jail in New York, facing retrial on rape and sex assault charges. China ramping up military exercises not far from Taiwan.
The exercises held off the coast of its southern Fujian province, which faces Taiwan. It comes just a week after a massive air and sea drill it called punishment for Taiwan's president rejecting Beijing's claims of sovereignty. Ships were alerted to avoid the area during this latest live fire exercise. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
South Korea today warning it may start sending weapons to Ukraine. That after North Korea allegedly started sending troops to Russia to help with the war. Both Russia and North Korea are denying that. The son of Hugh Hefner apparently wants Playboy back. Cooper Hefner reportedly willing to spend about $100 million to buy it, the brand, from its current owners. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is taking her message to Republicans and independent voters in Wisconsin. The vice president held an event in Brookfield Monday night. She appeared with Republican former Congresswoman Liz Cheney and conservative commentator Charlie Sykes. Both have endorsed the Democrat. They say Donald Trump is too dangerous. A public school administrator in Northwest Wisconsin is in big trouble with the law. Here's James Kelly.
Former Glenwood City School District Superintendent Tim Johnson is facing 17 felony charges, including theft, money laundering, forgery, and misconduct of office. He's accused of taking over $90,000 through his position as superintendent and not completing university classes for which he was given over $200,000. Johnson stepped down from his Chippewa Falls HR position earlier this year. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers review Sunday's game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers reviewed the game tape of Sunday's win over the Texans. Head coach Matt LaFleur says they should have scored more earlier than depend on a last-second field goal.
It was unfortunate that we had to be in that situation. I think a lot of times when you're just Rolodexing all the mistakes that you made or miss-ops to kind of put yourself in that position.
The Packers head to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. The NBA season gets underway tonight in Boston. The defending champion Celtics host the Knicks. The Bucks are headed to Philly to play the 76ers tomorrow night. What's the vibe like in the Bucks locker room? Bobby Portis.
I've been talking about the vibe of our team. We have a hell of a vibe in our locker room, and it's fun to come. Hate to say work, but it is work, right? We get paid to do this, so it's been fun to come to work every day and compete with the guys, man. It's fun.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon with a sprinkle or two possible by later today. Our high 72 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and breezy, 42 tomorrow, sunny 53. By Thursday, partly cloudy with a high back up to 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time, Tuesday Tangent with our very own Luke Mathers, and also talk about the first day of in-person voting in Wisconsin. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06. 2 weeks to go. It's Tuesday, October 22nd, 14 days till Election Day. Coming up in just a couple of minutes here, we'll talk to Ailey Peterson from Western Wisconsin Health, the Baldwin-based hospital and clinics, about activity that's taken place there, especially in light of other healthcare moves across Western Wisconsin. And we'll talk about the challenge of dealing with looking for enough qualified workers in healthcare industries around the state, especially rural healthcare. And a little bit about what whoever wins in November can do to be helpful to healthcare all across Wisconsin. So that's coming up in just a bit. We'll also tell you a bit more about Vice President Kamala Harris and her appearance in Brookfield yesterday with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney and former Milwaukee-based conservative talk show host Charlie Sykes, as they continue to let Wisconsin's conservative voters know that there is a better alternative to Donald Trump if you're looking at preserving what we have here in American democracy. So that is on the way. You can join us, of course, at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or you can put comments on our video stream on Facebook and on YouTube, or you can send us email as well, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Let's take a look at that forecast with meteorologist Brittany Merlot, because it is continues to be a dry one out there, but maybe about to change a little bit.
But
yes.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, we have two things happening. So we've got a low pressure system that is swinging up from the south. That is bringing some scattered showers to the southern half of the state through this morning. So right now those showers are in Iowa. They will be working their way towards the western south half, probably around 9 o'clock this morning, and towards central Wisconsin around noon, and off towards the lakeshore and eastern areas after 1 o'clock. So a little bit of scattered showers, nothing major with this one. Probably just putting down a trace to less than a tenth of an inch. We do need a whole lot more than that, but we'll take every drop that we can get. We have another front moving through tonight. That'll swing in. It'll bring much colder air, and it could spark a few more showers and maybe some more moderate rainfall into the northern half of the state overnight tonight and through tomorrow morning. So some of those with the cold push could turn into a wintry mix or some flurries far north towards Lake Superior. We're not looking at any accumulations. It's too early in the season for that just yet. But precipitation on the way and a cold blast. Highs today only at about 70 degrees statewide. But after tonight, when those winds switch to out of the northwest, it's going to drag our highs tomorrow to only 50 degrees, about 50 to 55 around the state. So we're going to be waking up to some chilly vibes.
There is a bit of a swing coming our way almost whiplashy.
Yeah.
All right, Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Oh, wait, we can't forget Rob. Hello.
Oh, Rob's my God, what are we doing? Someplace.
There we go. Yeah, Kristen Lyerly had seen him the other day and sent me a photo that they took together. It was just adorable. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. A beautiful sunrise and 49 degrees. I was in Clintonville yesterday, took my snowblower in to get it ready for winter. Got a visit with Kristen and her friends. Yep. Went for supper at my sister Lori's house in Caroline and had homemade pizza.
Nice.
Ooh. And we were talking about scars in our last segment. He says, I have a major scar. In September of 87, I ruptured my appendix and I had two surgeries. Holy cow.
Ooh.
I was just talking about my three surgeries for an appendix, and that was in 1986. Yeah. So apparently in 86 and 87, they were still perfecting the whole appendix removal thing.
I was just going to ask, why two or three?
Well, infections. They, you know, when those things burst, it's just a mess in there. So, Rob, we're glad things turned out all right for you as well. And as far as him having dinner, that reminds me, Greg, we were talking about soup season coming up and chili, and Greg was getting very excited. Where were you talking about the beer cheese soup at? Someplace?
There is a place called Delafield Brew House here in Waukesha County that has a beer cheese soup. It's very simple, but it's so flavorful. And then they have these like loaded pretzels. And I'm not talking like little, I'm talking like giant pretzels with cheese and bacon and all the stuff. And you just dip it in there and then you just go home and you fall asleep for like a week.
I want it for breakfast now.
Yeah, no kidding. But I'd mentioned making all these things in the Instapot. Well, last night in the Instapot, I made a roast and I used a different kind of seasoning and a different timing with the vegetables. And, oh, it was my best one yet. I'm so in the cult of Instapot right now. and proud of it. Thanks again, Brittany. Have a great day. Good thing we've been talking about all these things that could drop us like a horse, because we've got somebody from Western Wisconsin Health who's going to join us in just a second here. First, a quick reminder, the Badger football team will host third-ranked Penn State this Saturday. The pregame begins at 4:30 Saturday afternoon. You can catch it on Civic Media stations in Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, Racine Kenosha, Amory, or you can hear the Badger football game on the Civic Media app. So get that app downloaded and give yourself a listen to Badger football. All right, let's check in now with the state of healthcare in Western Wisconsin, something that has most decidedly been in flux, shall we say. And Ailey Peterson, the CEO of Western Wisconsin Health in Baldwin, is here to talk more about that. Ailey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Nice to have you here. We had Allison Page on a couple of weeks ago. She's a candidate now for legislature. In case folks are going, wait, didn't she talk about that? Yes, Allison Page had that role for some time. And you've been CEO for how long?
2.5 years. Had the pleasure of taking over for Allison when she retired and building on her legacy, it's been wonderful. It's a great hospital and great to step into her role.
Do you mind telling us a little bit more about your own background prior to becoming CEO?
Absolutely. So prior to joining Western Wisconsin Health, I served as the chief operating officer for Brattleboro Memorial Hospital in Vermont, similar rural community, serving their people and what they do best with full access healthcare. Before that, I worked for the upper peninsula of Michigan for Bell Hospital, now UP Health, for a critical access hospital there. And prior to my tenure in healthcare, I managed a public health dental clinic in Northeast Minneapolis. So my whole career has been in public health, ensuring equitable access to all, and it's certainly what fuels me and drives me in my everyday work.
Well, and we're very fortunate to have you here for it, because especially when it comes to rural areas, we need good people. We need leaders more than ever. And it's interesting that we're talking a bit about rural health, because you're there right there on the I-94 corridor. Mm-hmm. And so people can think of that whole area from the Twin Cities to Eau Claire, that whole corridor is kind of, you know, an exurban area of the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. But you're quite literally a stone's throw away from being back in rural Wisconsin to the north or south. And so you are acutely aware of the challenges of providing health care in areas that are not very large cities.
That's right. I like to think about it as a tale of two cities. We've got Hudson in our backyard, which is much more urban, of course. As you said, we're a stone's throw away from either Eau Claire or the Twin Cities, much larger urban areas. And yet here in Baldwin, we face a very rural community with all of the rural challenges, lack of access to transportation, challenging socioeconomic status, food insecurity, housing insecurity. And yet there aren't the same resources as one finds in urban areas. So the many of the pleasures and benefits of a rural community, but many challenges as we work to serve those in our community and absolutely in here in our rural community.
Yeah, no, we want to get into what Western Wisconsin Health is doing, the things that you're being proactive about. But there's also some reactive work that was made necessary by the abrupt closing of two hospitals in the Chippewa Valley when Illinois-based Hospital Sisters Health System closed Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joe's up here in Chippewa Falls, so that I can see the shell of it, you know, just over the cornfield over here. Mm-hmm. And it was, and again, having a wife who's an OB in the Marshfield Clinic system, mm-hmm. and worked at St. Joe's for many, many years, she and others will tell you it was a genuine mm-hmm. shock. I mean, there were all kinds of discussions about all kinds of circumstances out there, mm-hmm. but the notion of two hospitals closing abruptly really did come as a bombshell mm-hmm. to, you know, the 1,400 employees whose lives were affected. I would imagine when you all heard the news out there, you felt the shockwaves as well.
Absolutely. It was a wake-up call. You know, we did not believe that a hospital of the size of HSHS would close and close overnight. It was very concerning here. No one was anticipating or expecting this. And it really became something where we had to jump into action. We knew that where we were located, we were going to be called upon to serve an increased number of patients. We also knew that we were going to be called upon to help find employment for the many talented healthcare workers who, again, overnight found themselves without employment. So we did several things immediately to prepare ourselves for it. We were in the midst of an inpatient expansion, doubling our labor and delivery unit, increasing beds in our med-surg department. We ramped up construction. We had planned to shell some rooms and not finalize construction. When we heard the news, we knew we had to completely finalize all of the construction plans that we had and do so quickly to be able to be here for our region, increasing our hospital-based care, namely obstetrics. We also increased our workforce in short order, hiring many of the talented individuals out of the HSHS Provea networks. And we increased our workforce by 20% over the last 4 months, which is really unheard of in a rural critical access hospital. We also improved our access to behavioral health. We hired 3 additional behavioral health providers, 2 additional psychiatric providers, to be able to do whatever we could to in a preventive manner, meet the behavioral health needs of the region. With the closures of the inpatient mental health services, our thought was that we would focus on prevention and add additional resources in the behavioral health department. Lastly, Lastly, we increased our access to cancer care because we also knew that in the region with those closures, many patients who had a cancer diagnosis were left without a cancer care home in short order. So we wanted to be there for those vulnerable patients as well.
Yeah. I mean, again, in all of those areas, people think, well, you're just closing the hospital. No, there were all these areas that were impacted. There was the closing of the Ellie Phillips Libertas Center mm-hmm. in Chippewa Falls, for example, and things like that. So we're going to continue that conversation with Ailey Peterson from Western Wisconsin Health right after this break. And then coming up, we'll have more unpacking of the day's headlines as we are just 2 weeks away from Election Day. But early in-person absentee voting begins today. So if you'd like to learn more about early voting, head over to myvote.wi.gov. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. a Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio. Again, the Christina Aguilera album Stripped was released this day in 2002. I mentioned early voting. You can get Dan Schaefer's 2024 voting guide over at civicmedia.us, and you can check out the election section we've put together over at upnorthnewswi.com for information about registration, voting basics, and all of the key races that are going on across Wisconsin. So again, check that out as well, upnorthnewswi.com, and look for that up in the top of the homepage. All right, we are talking about healthcare in Western Wisconsin and the changes that came with it. And Ailey Peterson, the CEO of Western Wisconsin Health, the Baldwin-based hospital and clinic, joins us to discuss it. And we've talked about the Chippewa Valley closings of Sacred Heart and St. Joe's. But prior to that as well, there was the decision by Mayo to discontinue delivery services, obstetrical services, not only in their smaller hospital in Barron, but their larger facility in Menominee. I mean, right again, right there on the I-94 corridor. And as folks know, with my wife being an OB in the Rice Lake area, we've seen how obstetrical units in many other small communities around Northwest Wisconsin have closed. And so there is such a there's such a lack of great options for delivery services. So you talked about stepping up to do that. Is that something that you did on your own, or how were there public funds available? What was it that enabled you to make the moves that you did?
Yeah, happy to talk about this very important topic, because really we are at a crisis inflection point when it comes to rural obstetrical care. More than half of the rural hospitals in our country today no longer deliver babies. So when we talk about this issue, it's important to talk about it in terms of a public health crisis. Because as we think about why we have infant and maternal mortality rates that are much higher than other countries, it is largely driven by this lack of access to care. And as you mentioned, right here in our region, we've had six hospitals within a 60-mile radius close their obstetrical units over the last 4 years. So that impact is absolutely felt here. And it has been a foundational service line for us and an investment that this hospital has made over the last 5 years, and something that we will continue to do so. We are invested in ensuring that obstetrical care here within our community is a priority and can be provided to all. So that is why we made the choice while other hospitals were closing to invest in our labor and delivery unit and double the size. Last year, we delivered 285 babies. This year, we're projected to deliver 400. And you're right, none of this is possible on our own. It's the unfortunate state of reimbursement of obstetrical care that forces hospitals like us to fundraise to be able to stay afloat. And we've been fortunate to receive several grants, including congressional direct spend on behalf of Tammy Baldwin in the amount of $1 million, which was very instrumental in the success of our hospital. But it's very unfortunate that we have to fundraise to be able to save this essential service of labor and delivery.
Yeah, we talk a lot about Medicare and Medicaid especially, and that expanding Medicaid, Wisconsin accepting the federal funds to expand Medicaid, Badger Care, would cover many more people. It would give them stable, affordable health care. But that's only one part of the equation. Mm-hmm. There then becomes the part of, okay, now we've got coverage, but you talk about the reimbursement for that coverage, because if it, again, it's one thing to have the coverage, but if you're actually losing money as a healthcare provider, then that coverage is not going to stay out there.
That you're hitting the nail on the head here, that until we reform reimbursement, certainly Medicaid, but many other payers, until we get to the root cause of this issue, which is truly reimbursement reform, extending coverage is not the answer. Every hospital CEO, as they look at their bottom line, they're going to see that obstetrical care is the biggest loser on their balance sheet. And it has everything to do with poor reimbursement. And so the call to action here is truly reform.
Yeah. So we'll obviously have, there will be a to-do list waiting for anybody who wins the November elections for the legislature and for Congress. Let's talk about the workforce for a moment, because you did say we're a little different in Western Wisconsin because of those some 1,400 jobs affected by the hospital closings. You did have a pool of good potential applicants out there. That's not the case anywhere else, and it certainly won't be the case here once all of those qualified folks find roles. Can you talk a bit about the challenge of finding qualified candidates for all the many different types of positions, and you know what you're trying to do to overcome that?
Absolutely. So I think as we think about the challenges that face hospitals today, and I'll speak to rural hospitals given that's my passion and niche area of expertise, I would say reimbursement and financial stability is high on that list, but right on its heels continues to be workforce. And we're in a bit of a unique position, as you said, because of a bolus of talented staff who came our way. But before that, and even in the months now preceding, workforce continues to be a challenge. As an independent hospital, we do have some advantages in that people want to come and work for an independent hospital. We have an average daily census of 9, so we're able to provide that personalized care for our workforce. But this is not a challenge that's gone away. It is still ever present with us today.
And so to do that, does it require, recruiting, advertising far beyond, you know, the areas that you otherwise might? I would imagine there's maybe some, national journals and things that you have to advertise in? How do you go about that?
So we advertise certainly here regionally, but also nationally in our search for the top talent. But our main focus here is to ensure that we're providing a quality product to our workforce. So we strive to serve as an employer of choice through the benefits that we offer, and our focus on health and wellness for our employees, their physical well-being and their mental health. I think that makes a difference.
It sounds like it definitely does. And how can people learn more about Western Wisconsin Health?
They can head to our website, which is, you can find us by a simple Google search at Western Wisconsin Health, and look at our website to learn more about our job postings and all of our healthcare offerings.
Wonderful. Ailey Peterson, we've learned so much. Thank you so much for your insight and for all you're doing for healthcare in Western Wisconsin. It was great to talk to you. Hope we can talk again soon.
Thank you, Pat. Same to you. Much appreciated.
All right. Take care. Now, when we come back, we'll review some more of the headlines from the day. Also, a reminder, just a couple of episodes left of our weekly video podcast from Courier Newsroom on our YouTube page called Closing Strong with Tara McGowan and Simon Rosenberg. Look for Closing Strong at Courier HQ on YouTube. This is Up North News Radio from the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlaw.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Upcoming changes in tax law are going to impact Wisconsin farmers. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Tuesday. The Division of Extension is hosting a workshop to help you navigate these new requirements. Stick around for the details.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Kelly Wilford joining us. She's a farm law outreach specialist with the UW-Madison Division of Extension. She says their upcoming Wisconsin Ag Law update in early December will outline some major changes in tax law that will impact Wisconsin farmers.
So what we're going to do with the Wisconsin Ag Law update is it's going to be a one-hour roundup of major changes that impact Wisconsin farmers. Each one of these updates is going to be tailored to what's happening in the moment. A few things we might cover, some changes that have been coming down the pipeline. We've got the beneficial ownership reporting requirement, which is going to be due at the end of December for most Wisconsin farm entities. So we'll talk about what that means. We might touch on some tax proposals and changes, like the change in the estate and gift tax exemption that's scheduled for 2026. I've been following the Clean Water Act lawsuit in northern Wisconsin, and of course, more recently, the poultry processor dismissal of bankruptcy that's impacting our Wisconsin poultry growers.
Farm law outreach specialist Kelly Wilford along with us. Get the details on their upcoming Wisconsin Ag Law update at the Division of Extension website. We've got more agribusiness news next.
The Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic is Wisconsin's premier agribusiness industry event, drawing interest and participation from all segments of the industry throughout the Midwestern states. Mark January 13th and 14th down on your calendar to be at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center in Wisconsin Dells. The depth of coverage and exhibits provided during the conference makes it clear why the Wisconsin Agribusiness Classic is Wisconsin's premier industry event. For more information or to register, visit wiagribusiness.org.
This week in agribusiness news, agriculture shined in this year's Wisconsin Innovation Awards. Woolitz LLC out of Argyle took home top marks in the Ag Innovation category out of 200 nominees. Woolitz makes wool pellets. These are a replacement for peat used by farmers, gardeners, and houseplant enthusiasts. The company buys wool from Wisconsin sheep farmers, removing any unsold wool from the waste stream, and then they repurpose it into a soil amendment. Congratulations, Woolitz, for taking home a top prize in the Wisconsin Innovation Awards. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon with a sprinkle or two possible by later today. Our high 72 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and breezy, 42 tomorrow, sunny 53 by Thursday, partly cloudy with a high back up to 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, early voting starts in Wisconsin. Trump says all the geese are missing. Louisiana's Ten Commandments goes to court. Plus, overtime with Maggie Dawn. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Bob Seger's Night Moves album was released this day in 1976. How can that be? How can that be 48 years ago? It's just so wrong.
I mean, I know how you feel, man. Like, there are albums that I grew up with, like Metallica records are hitting 40. I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, that reminds me. While I was doom scrolling through TikTok, I forgot to bookmark this one for you. Somebody did if Metallica were yacht rock. No, if Def Leppard were yacht rock.
Yeah.
And it was such a good production of Pour Some Sugar on Me done in a yacht rock melody. You'll have to look that up.
All
it's
right.
It's so worth it. Remember my mentioning taking Sherry to see Air Supply in Milwaukee a
couple
weeks back?
Absolutely. So jealous.
For an anniversary present. And, you know, I was just looking around for, you know, where are there concerts or plays or things? You know, that we'd make a nice weekend out of it. I did have the option for this show that's scheduled for this week because Sherry loves Pink, has seen her in concert before, would love to see her again. But now I'm suddenly glad I didn't. I had the option to get tickets for tomorrow night's concert at Fiserv Forum, and it's been canceled. Pink's upcoming show at Fiserv Forum tomorrow, and then in Lincoln, Nebraska, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Des Moines, Iowa have all been postponed. The announcement said that they were, quote, due to reasons beyond my control. I'm so disappointed to share this news, but we are working on rescheduling each of these shows as soon as we can, according to Pink in the announcement canceling the show. So if you have tickets, consider yourself on notice. And I can imagine, can you imagine if you didn't hear about this and you just show up there and you're all ready to go? And it's like, well, no, we don't have that. But Ernie, the maintenance guy, brought his banjo, you know, so we can do that for you.
And we can string him up on a string and because she does the acrobatics. I don't know. I don't like the modern music. If this isn't Mel Torme, it isn't my time. I don't know. No, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be hundreds, if not thousands of people who show up and say, like, I'm here for the show. Like, read the sign. Sorry.
Yep, so sorry. I want to mention again that Matt and Air on Air coming up at 10 o'clock. You've got a couple of really good guests. Kristen Alfheim, state Senate candidate. But also Darren Von Rudin from from the Wisconsin Farmers Union, who is no stranger to Derek Van Orden.
Yes,
but recently had an episode where I know. Newsflash, DVO lost his temper. So
yeah,
Grandpa Meany is at it again.
And he didn't like it when he lost it on kids just having some fun in the Capitol. Don't like it when he speaks to reporters the way he does, but. You sit on the Ag Committee and you say you're of the people, of the farmers, of that community you come from, and this is how you treat people. I mean, it's just it's despicable, and I dislike it. And you know, I want to keep it. You know, I don't want to say it like something extreme, but it just why would you act like that?
Because that's how he has always acted and will continue to act. He continues to put on an act for local TV news crews, but to everybody else who has had any kind of interaction with him, they know better. And so Darren Von Rudin will be joining you a little later on this morning. But right now, it's time to talk about a topic near and dear to everybody's heart. Let's hear it for a little bit of... Okay.
You want me to play it again? I'll play it again.
No, that's okay. I'm good. But I did want that lead in to say that I'm playing wounded today with having received the flu shot in one arm and the COVID booster in the other. I know. Please don't send money. I'll be okay. But I also thought that I would have to get the RSV shot, the new one there, because it's recommended for 60 and older. But according to the folks I saw yesterday, they were like, well, 60 and older if you have, you know, certain preconditions. And, you know, so he said, if your insurance doesn't cover it, it's like $500. So I need to check on that with the insurance company today. So at least two of the three shots were given yesterday. And so that ends our segment on shots.
That ends our segment entitled.
Get your boosters. Get your booster. Little John would agree.
I think so. I really do. I really hope he does a segment Yes, please make that happen. The world.
that would be wonderful. This thing about Donald Trump and the McDonald's stunt that he pulled, it's not about Trump and the McDonald's. You can make fun of that all day. And trust me, a lot of people have. I'm still bothered that, A, so many news outlets reported it as if he just showed up at an operating McDonald's, not one that was completely closed down and the whole thing was staged with supporters. And they didn't include that in their news story about it. But also that any, and it's not many, but that anybody is still going along with their other talking point of why hasn't Kamala Harris talked about her summer job? She claims she works at McDonald's, but we have no proof of it. So what?
Yeah.
I do not have any paperwork from my summer jobs at Valley Fair. I have the memories. I don't have the pay stubs, and you're just going to have to take my word for it. As somebody wrote on social media here, you want Kamala Harris to release a W-2 from 1983 when she worked at McDonald's as a summer job, but you don't question, because you question whether she actually cooked fries. But you don't have an issue with a 78-year-old man not releasing his medical history, his psychiatric evaluation, the hospital report from his shooting, his tax returns, and you want Kamala Harris's W-2.
Yeah.
Stop it. Sit down.
I will be interested to see, and this is, please don't get mad at me, the world, if for some reason Kamala Harris does not win, I can't wait for all the books to be written on the psychology of this country about this election. Because this is the fact that she has to fight so hard. I mean, I know why. I'm not dumb, but we're also not talking about it in the mainstream press about the fact that a very capable Gen X woman of color with a lot of credentials and the resume to prove it has to fight so hard against a man who literally talked about a dead golfer's member on stage this weekend.
Yeah. And used, you know, R-rated language.
Yes.
And that so many people still support him, but also that so many media outlets still treat this as normal. There are just some things you don't do. Leads me to my next story here. Political mail, is, especially by special interest groups, like, let's say, Americans for Prosperity, the far-right group that, you know, claims they're just all about lower taxes, but are, you know, part of a Project 2025 agenda to just decimate government. They don't do anything, you know, halfway, shall we say. And yet they sent out a mailer for one of the legislative races here in the Chippewa Valley, where the incumbent Democrat, Jody Emerson, I think she's in her third term, so she's been there a while, is running against a Republican challenger, Michelle Magadan Skinner, former Channel 13 anchor way back. And this Americans for Prosperity mail piece, on both sides of it, says, re-elect Michelle Magadan Skinner, our vision, our voice, our community. Re-elect Michelle Magadan Skinner, which, again, You can claim it's an innocent mistake. I don't think it is. No. I think it's an effort to say, here's a familiar name, and oh, you didn't know she's been in the legislature all this time? You should re-elect her. Now, again, we don't really have a cop on the beat that can do anything about this. Once upon a time, if you made a mistake in your mailing, you would put out something saying, our bad, you know, we didn't mean to, you know, imply this. But I don't think, I'm not going to be waiting around. I'm not going to be waiting around for an apology from Americans for Prosperity. But I thought it was important to let people know that you get something in the mail, especially from a special interest group, take it with a great big grain of salt. That's all I'm asking that people do. There was a school board meeting in Somerset in St. Croix County last night that I definitely want to know more about because of the reports that I've been seeing on social media and because of earlier clips. That there is a person on the school board who is definitely, you know, an extreme conservative, and he was facing censure last night by his fellow school board members in Somerset for violating district policies, including a lot of Facebook comments that might be disparaging of the school district, disparaging of school board members, passing along incorrect information about the school district. This is somebody who talks all the time about, you know, the trans agenda and things like that, and has taken an extreme right-wing ideology to a local school board in Western Wisconsin. And as I'm looking through, John Norcross is the name of the writer here who was following it and laying out how, you know, Moms for Liberty came and, you know, spoke on his behalf. And of course, he was supported by the Republican Party of St. Croix County. The Republican Party of St. Croix County, you might recall, after the 2020 election, urged their followers to, quote, prepare for war. This is not your father's traditional Republican Party. And so the other school board members got to, I recall a friend posted at one point that this was somebody, she passed along some extremely chauvinistic comments that he made to women on the board. And so I called up a YouTube clip from one of the meetings in question earlier this year. And when he was done haranguing one of the board members and she said that, you know, she was feeling, you know, harassed by his inflammatory language, he just kind of sniffed and sat back and said, oh, yeah, another Me Too movement, I suppose. So I think I've described it enough to say that I don't know if you can be censured for being a jerk, but you can be censured for violating school district policy about your social media posts and about your conduct on school board meetings. Is anything going to change? No, because as soon as the vote was taken, he took the piece of paper that the censure was put it on, and he tore it up, you know, right there in front of his other school board members. So this is what, again, underscores the importance of local elections. Now, the spring, the school board elections are in the spring. They are nonpartisan matters, pretty much in name only, given how deep Republicans have become involved in school board elections and getting far-right members elected. But whether it's the school board elections next spring or your local legislative elections coming up in November 5th, it is more important than ever to know who is on your ballot and not take a chance on voting for somebody who might be, just a far-right, chauvinistic, transphobic ideologue, as some people on our Wisconsin school boards appear to be. So if you want to know more about who is on your ballot, head over to myvote.wi.gov. You put in your address, you will see what's on your ballot, and you will see where you can vote in your election. And by the way, don't forget, as soon as we get done with this election, we're jumping right into another, because there will be an open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And progressives right now have a 4-3 majority, but it's a liberal justice who is retiring. So it is the one chance conservatives will have to take back the majority come April. So, yeah, election fatigue is a real thing, but there will only be a brief rest before we jump right back into the school board and Supreme Court elections, primaries in February, and a general election in April. All right, if you missed it, the big story from the presidential campaign yesterday was Vice President Kamala Harris teaming up with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney in three battleground states, including an appearance in Brookfield, to make a bipartisan appeal to Republicans who are becoming increasingly uneasy about Donald Trump, with his election denial, acting increasingly erratically on the campaign trail. And Harris is betting there's a path to victory with college-educated suburban voters who have already been drifting toward the Democratic Party in the Trump era. The event was moderated by Charlie Sykes, of all people. But as Kamala Harris said, Trump tends to encourage us as Americans to point our fingers at each other. And that's not in our best interests. The vast majority of us have so much more in common than what separates us. And by the way, there was a method to the madness. They didn't just pick the three battleground states. They picked these counties in particular. Waukesha County, and earlier in the day, counties in Pennsylvania and Michigan, where former candidate Nikki Haley beat Donald Trump in the Republican primaries earlier this year. Chad Holmes will join us coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
A lot can happen in 25 years.
especially in the swamps of Washington, D.C. When we first elected her, Tammy Baldwin focused on Wisconsin. But Baldwin changed. Today, she rakes in campaign cash from left-wing groups and does their bidding. Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. She supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. Baldwin even voted to send stimulus checks to criminals in jail, including the Boston Marathon bomber. We thought we knew Tammy Baldwin, but she's changed. Now it's time for us to make a change. Replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Badger fans, Wisconsin men's basketball tips off the 24-25 season November 4th with new names and new conference opponents. Whether you're looking for season tickets, five-game packages, or single-game options, we've got something to fit your schedule. Now's the time to secure your seats for an exciting season of Badger men's basketball. For more information and to grab your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
We're getting to that point where every Tuesday people are like, wait, is Chad's show starting now? No, you'll hear that theme music again coming up in about 15 minutes or so when Chad gets his show started on 98.9 WXCO in Wausau, or you can listen to it on the Civic Media app and tune in that way as well, and hopefully Chad will be joining us shortly here. But by the way, if you're depending on where you're listening across the Civic Media radio network, some folks might be hearing the Earl Ingram show up next. His co-host for the day is Sandy Williams, and at 9:30, he will be talking to Joe Sheehan, a candidate for assembly in the 26th district. That's in Sheboygan. And we mentioned Matt and Aaron Air will have Darren Von Ruden at 10:30 and Kristen Alfheim at 11:05. 11:35, you've got, Greg, somebody, Jamie Martinson, and Making Your Vote Count 2024. You want to tell us anything about that? Wait, I lost Greg. His camera's off. Oh, no. Okay. I withdraw the question to Greg, and I now bring in Chad Holmes instead to tell us more about what he's going to have on his fine radio show. Mr. Holmes, how are you?
I am doing good.
Good. Oh, we got a little bit of echo there.
I turned this on, and it's a different board because I gave my other board to one of my announcers who needed to check out something, and I don't know if this little mini board is not working properly or
What does this switch do? All right,
I think it's on my end. It's not on your end.
Oh no, I'm sure it's on your end.
I know it's on your end.
But as long as you've got that good stadium echo, let's pretend we're at Lambeau Field, and you know you got the PA mic there because that was a heck of a Packer game for me to attend. You been to a Packer game lately?
Not in a long time. I really have no desire to go to a Packer game in person, to be honest with you. Well, I've been there, again, long time ago. It was so cold and just sitting in beer running down the aisles. I just have no real idea of wanting to go to a Packer game ever again, to be honest with you.
I prefer
to be home watching on TV.
And I totally get that because you learn so much more about the game. The cameras are right up there close, whereas you're kind of guessing who caught the ball, you know, especially if it's at the far end of the field. And that's all fine. I hadn't had that experience in about 20 years. The stadium has been remodeled since then, and there's some really, really nice elements to the stadium now. So it was a fun thing to go to, something that I enjoyed very greatly.
Actually, the last time I was there was for the Brett Favre thing. He came back to Green Bay the weekend. He was have his number retired, and they had an event in like July. And that was actually fun because it was a beautiful night. It wasn't cold at all. And it was sort of a non-game, and it was actually very kind of laid back, which I found to be very enjoyable to be at the at Lambeau in that kind of situation.
Well, and you get, as Tony puts on YouTube here, you've got the atmosphere, you've got the vibes, you know, it's just an experience. But I definitely would only go to a Sunday noon game. And I lucked out. It was a perfect day, you know, not raining. The tailgating stuff was an incredible experience. So think about it. The more I think, this was my last Packers game, because I'm not going to beat that experience. You're never going to get perfect weather like that again. And yeah, I'm going out on top. I'm announcing my retirement today from attending games at Lambeau Field.
And you got to see the special uniforms too. So
there yeah, that did spoil it a bit. It, you know, if I wanted to see the New York Jets, I'd watch the New York Jets. You know, in their white uniforms.
Sure, they sold some.
Yes, we mentioned earlier that early in-person voting begins today in your local clerk's offices. And as I said last hour, you need to consult with your local clerk as far as the times and hours of availability, because it's your local clerk who's the boss of elections, Doug Dinney, and nobody else. And I trust things have settled down out there in beautiful Wausau with your mayor and your Dropbox.
It seems like it. I'm sort of waiting to see, because I know that they were having some investigations. I haven't really heard of anything since they started up. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens there, because so often right now it just feels like certain folks can just do whatever they want, and there tends not to be very many consequences.
That is a perfect way to put it. The lack of consequences for trying to undermine elections at the national level is depressing. At the state level is disheartening. So maybe at the local level, it is what it takes to see some kind of accountability, and maybe it builds from there. One can only hope. But again, if you're interested in that early absentee voting, head to myvote.wi.gov to learn more. Remember, drop boxes are back in effect in places that allow them. They're not required. And as we know, there are several conservative officials around Wisconsin, whether in elections or law enforcement, who have decided that drop boxes are not going to be a convenience that is afforded to you in those particular areas. So be sure you check first. Did you tell me you're like an in-person voter or an early voter?
No, I'm an in-person. I always go on election day itself.
Okay, and you've never had to miss it because of a sports event or something like that?
Nope, always have been lucky where I tend to do it at lunchtime. I always tend to, you know, do my show and then go grab a bite to eat and stop by and take care of business then. And I always just like to see how many people have been there. And again, I mean, obviously there's so many advantages to voting early, but I find it to be, you know, just more the way I like to do it.
Well, no, that's fine. That's the way that I liked to do it until I had it interrupted a couple of times by work things or by weather things. And so for those folks that want to vote early, they can go get that vote banked right now. But again, there's still plenty to learn about the election that you can tell your friends about voting. And to do that, you can listen to a chat show coming up on 98.9 WXCO right up next or on the Civic Media app. Chad, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I'll make sure we get a different board next week.
No worries. Thank you, sir. And Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Aaron Air. As we mentioned, a very busy show there.
Right? Yes, sir.
Okay, there we go. So that'll wrap things up for a Tuesday morning here on Up North News Radio. Appreciate you being here. We will have our regular climate check segment and our homeroom segment tomorrow morning as well. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, my Tuesday co-host Sandy Williams will be here to catch up on all politics we missed over the weekend. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.